Namaste and welcome back to another episode of The Sapient. Today, we have, for the first time, someone from Instagram La La Land. Welcome, Emily. How are you doing? What's up?
I am doing well. But nice to take a break from the La La Land.
Yeah, but not for our listeners because they've already seen you on Instagram by this point.
Yeah. So now we're getting to know each other in a new setting.
Right. I love your background, by the way. It's just like a proper studio. Yeah, so can you introduce yourself and, you know, like, help my people understand what you do and, you know, why you do what you do?
Yeah, of course. So, obviously, I'm Emily, and I am a, I would say, dating, embodiment, attachment coach. So, I help a lot of men, women out there who may be struggling with anxious attachments or different anxieties around, you know, different abandonment traumas, and even some people who lean more on the avoidance spectrum who have autonomy, like, you know, attachment issues. And I basically, what I do is I help them be able to come back to their center, come back to their security. I like to say to my community, helping them find their light again, finding that spark, finding that inspiration. Makes them who they are and what drives them and what brings them purpose and what brings them mission. And also to have better quality dating experiences where they are able to have a healthy, secure, inspiring, and warm and loving type of love into their lives. And so a lot of what I do incorporates some spiritual practices, like, you know, with integrating different sides of the selves that we shame or that we ignore or that we belittle, such as the inner child or the shadow or the egoic versions of us. And also through also regulating their nervous system of helping them feel safe in within their bodies in different dating experiences. So men with women and men with or women with men or whatever their preferences are, as well as being able to connect them with that highest version of them and different mindset shifts. And these all came from, I've been so blessed with so much wisdom of mentoring with different people in the masculine and feminine polarity spaces, the inner work realms, like the Tony Robbins-esque of the world, and being able to incorporate that through my journey, which, as every hero's origin story is, with chaos and all sorts of hard or difficult relationships and things that I had to break through myself. And so it's comes from a lot of wisdom from that, as well as my own studies and experience myself.
Understand?
Yeah.
Right. That's a complaint I have with, like, enlightened people. Like, you guys throw around a lot of words that people might be going through but fail to recognize, right? So what was your initial way of, I would say, you know, being a sponge and, you know, just consuming this knowledge? Like, where did you begin with?
Yeah, so I would say that it all started back when I was 19. I was in my second semester of college, and I was in a period where I felt very alone and almost borderline like a depressed during that time, because me and my boyfriend at the time were long distance. I felt like our relationship was falling apart. I wasn't finding my people at college. I was having difficulties accepting myself, and I was in this like shell almost of almost whenever I was interacting with new people and trying to make new friends, I like would shut down and be like, and like freeze almost.
Yeah.
Cause I was so caught up, I think subconsciously and also somewhat consciously about, okay, what are people going to think of me? What are people going to feel about me? And like, am I doing the right things? Cause fundamentally I felt that, that something was wrong with me because of my family history, because of like some of my beliefs and me not really knowing who I was. And so then when I entered a sales job, and it was one of the most challenging but also eye-opening experiences of my life, because I was immediately thrown into a new family of people, because the sales world is very much like raw and very much like, hey, like let's be friends and like and opening up. And I, when you're in sales, it challenges you to the max, yep, because it challenges your personality, it challenges mm-hmm. your outgoingness, your ability to build connections with people. And it brought all of my fears and limiting beliefs to the surface. Everything about what I felt I was worthy of receiving, or like about how I felt interacting with people. Mm-hmm. And in that world too, there is a lot of competition, like, you know, about yeah. how the praise and the recognition mm-hmm. is directly tied into how well you perform and how well you or how much, like, you know, trophies that you gain. And yep. luckily my community was very like loving and supportive, and I had great mentors there, but it also, again, brings like a direct mirror into all the parts that you were the most insecure about yourself.
Yeah.
And so through that world, I was introduced to Mike Lanzetta and a couple of other mentors too, like who is my coach. And so with him, he introduced to me like the different concepts about like how your thoughts create your reality, and how whoever you identify with yourself, like the traits that you give yourself, the stories that you tell yourself will directly impact your life.
Yeah.
And so that's where I started to really break open into this inner work world about, okay, what are the, how do I hold myself back? Like, you know, what are the things, the thoughts, the limiting beliefs, the insecurities, what is it that I find so much shame around, and how can we transform that into gratitude, into empowerment, into keeping the strengths and the lessons without keeping the things that hold you back? So that's kind of it in a synopsis of how I got yep. started.
I get it. So, I mean, I do agree with you that sales kind of brings out, I would say, all the holes in a person, right? Like all of the, you know, uncertainties about themselves, and it kind of challenges that, right? And also, like, let me ask you this, right? At in what stage of your sales job, right, you felt, okay, I might not be adequate for this?
Right off the bat, honestly.
Yeah, in no time.
Yeah, like when, like, literally on my first like 10 days of the job, when I was doing my first practice appointments, like, you know, with my clients, like, you know, immediately anytime I was hit with some sort of objection or rejected, I immediately like went into people pleaser mode, and I was yeah. like, no, you, of course you don't have to, and this is yeah. And I was my managers laughed at me all the time, because I was the girl that was like maxing out on all the free stuff, and I would spend 2 hours on my appointments, and I would and just end up like talking for the first hour and a half, and then going into the presentation, like, or trying to do the actual work. So it almost immediately, right off of the bat, I was like, nope, I'm that, you don't need this, like, blah 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 blah, like, this is okay. And like that just really showed, for lack of better words, my lack of confidence at the time.
yeah. I mean, a lot of people do struggle with roles, right? Like in terms of just stopping their professional self in personal life, if that makes sense. Like mm-hmm. what do you think is a healthy habit for somebody if they want to switch from being a professional to being an actual person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's such a good question. And I think when somebody is, everybody makes up these rules about who they have to be or how they have to act in order to be successful, in order to be a professional, in order to take their career to the next level, whether it is from other people who are higher up in the business, what other people tell them, what they read on some in some book or some podcast or whatever it is. And they try to force themselves to become somebody else, mm-hmm. or try to force themselves to adjust to how they put, let me rephrase that. They put so much expectation and pressure and weight into what other people are saying and what other people are doing, and then pendulum swing or hyper change into what a couple of people say to try to match that.
Yep.
And so when it comes to like being able to be like, the one big shift is, it's not about how, trying to match something else, is about how much can you embrace your own personal strengths and your authenticity? Because I think mm-hmm. that authenticity is what everybody craves, knowing yeah. that they can completely be themselves and not be judged for it, not be shamed for it. And so that's one of the mindsets. And like also about like getting in touch with your higher self. And I know that might not be a word that everybody understands, but the higher self in the sense of what is the ideal version of you? If you had no rules, if you had no expectations, if you could create your own world, like this is The Sims or something, how would you live? What would your habits be? Like, you know, what would your mindsets be? How would you approach each day in your life? Because I really do believe that everybody has that internal guidance system that knows the truth and that can get that drive, but it gets clouded by the insecurities, by by your ego, by like, you know, trying to mask these different things. So
yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yes. I read a quote that said, "We are born perfect, but situations makes us defect." Right? Like it kind of molds, you know, what we think or, you know, how we judge stuff. Right. So when you, you know, at a certain point realize that I need to work on myself, right? What was the first, you know, few steps that you took that helped you?
Yeah, so honestly, like some of it came from just natural instinct, because I had like a really strong anxious attachment, so I always thought something was wrong with me. I love people telling me that these are your issues and these are the things you need to work on, and I was blessed with so many opportunities where I would be actively searching out courses, actively searching out different things. And so what I would suggest for people getting started in their inner work journey is finding a mentor or finding a voice, whether it is, I got started with listening to, I think her name is Liz Boss on a podcast, Date Yourself Instead, and then later on Taylor Carr, you know, who was my masculine and feminine polarity coach. And find somebody who embodies the traits that you desire, embodies the life that you want, and that resonates with you, and then figure out how to get in their world. Like, you know, so that's come in many different ways for me. It's like for Liz Boss, like, you know, it started with her podcast, and I was starting to listen to that every single day and helping me get some of the superficial 3D like mindset shifts that did have deeper ingrainings in them. But then she started launching a course, and I was like, ah, okay, it's a course. Like, you know, and so it was all about learning about the skill of detachment, like, you know, learning about how to disconnect, like, you know, from all these different things that keeping you holding back and keeping you small. And then it kind of ripple effects from there. Like once you make that first step into the inner work world of starting to listen to people and starting to do these different courses, you're naturally going to get drawn to other coaches, other opportunities. You start following more pages like it. Like I think that's one of the beautiful perks of social media right now is that if you can't financially invest in a $10,000 program right off of the bat, then you can go to coaches online, like, you know, who, whether it's a fitness coach, whether it's a business coach, whether it's somebody who speaks on, again, like, you know, relationships or about your specific career path. Go ahead.
Huh? You forget to sell yourself. you always speak about those things.
Like, you know, being able to find that person, that guiding light, like, you know, and if it's me, great. and following what that resonates, right.
So do you think at least the person deciding to work on it, right, shows some kind of improvement, right? Even if they just decide, okay, you know what, I need to work on this, right? Because what I have seen is majority of people do not have even that recognition where they say, okay, I need to work on this.
Mm-hmm. So rephrase the question one more time.
So, you know, you did say, you know, we have to follow these people or listen to others' wisdom, right? But do you think a person just accepting, okay, this is something that I need to work on, recognizing that, and just the part of recognition, right, do you think starts the change within that person?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Self-awareness is always the first step. Like, you know, and it takes a lot of bravery and a lot of courage and a lot of vulnerability to say, yeah, this is kind of fucked up that I do, or this is kind of messed up about something that I do, or this is a pattern that might be that's causing me either A, bad results in my life and my relationships, or is impacting the way that I approach those relationships and is impacting other people. Like, so there are so many people out there who are afraid to just look at themselves and face the darkest parts of themselves. And because it's our pride and it's our ego, and we're like, and we don't want to always admit that, like, hey, there are problematic things in our life. We try to be reactionary. That's what I tell my clients all the time, is that a lot of people are reactionary to the world, like, you know, waiting for somebody else to make them feel like they're enough, waiting for somebody else, like for the perfect opportunity or the perfect relationship or the perfect habit or the perfect formula that will just transform their life. But really, like, you know, doing the inner work is, and really taking the next level of your life and taking ownership of your life, is first taking that ownership of yourself. And even just taking that self-awareness of recognizing that, hey, these are patterns that are not helping me, you already up level and you don't go back after that moment. Like, because then you start to be very hyper aware of, okay, where is this keep showing up in my life? Like, you know, and also you start to train your brain and train, like, you know, your, I guess we'll just say brain for now, though, you'll train your brain to be able to start seeking out other language of people who say, this is also a problem that I had or that I am going through, and that this is how I shifted that. So you naturally start getting drawn to spaces where other people are recognizing that problem too.
Do you think for people who don't have a lot of wisdom as people around them, right? Like, they have dumb people around them, to put it very aggressive. Right? Do you think it is super hard for those people even to begin that process?
I believe that's a yes and. I believe that we surround ourselves with the people who mirror our own beliefs, whether it's culturally, societally, or even about ourselves. Like, if you take your top five friends around you, you can find the average of their income. Your income's going to be the same, but that also applies, or somewhere around that range. That also applies to their characteristics and their belief. Like, you know, meaning that typically the people who hang, like, if Democrats may hang out with, or Democrats, using the United States terms, the people who believe that all men suck and all women suck are going to hang out with all people that say all men suck and all women suck. And that's one of the hurdles that some people don't talk about during, like, at least up front about the inner growth process, is that sometimes the one of the scariest sections of it is recognizing, oh, not just me, but I've been surrounding myself with these types of people. And as you continue to up level, and as you continue to bring more awareness and start to shift into your real truth, other people might fall away, right? So it's scary, it's intimidating, but I also believe that everybody can have the autonomous choice to be able to say, okay, my vision of who I want to become is more important than this version of me that I am. And again, it doesn't mean it's not scary. It doesn't mean that it's not intimidating. And yes, it can be difficult depending on how much people rely on other people's opinions and on that, and or how tight-knit they are in those groups. So it can be more difficult, but it doesn't make it any less possible.
Yeah, that's why I have, like, absolute influence as my friends. So there is less competition. They're going to be pissed. They're going to be pissed about this. Yeah, so because that's something that I realized when looking at your content, right? Because you do speak a lot of advanced language, right? Even for somebody who is fairly new into understanding themselves, right? But I guess why your content works is because you're able to connect with them on a very ground level, right? On a very it's a rudimentary level, right? So as you said, right, like, we tend to, let's say, build echo chambers, right, with our friends. How hard is it to accept that first piece of advice, right? Because we have had the habit of being like this for whole life, and now this person comes in and says, you got to change to this, right? So, because, you know, you also do coaching, right? What is the kind of level of resistance that you see, right, in the early of the process?
So, what I believe that a lot of what I teach, and this kind of ties into the content, is what I like to call capital T truth, meaning that I don't try to water out or filter, like, you know, for anything. Like, I just speak my truth, or like the truth that I see in my clients, or the truth that I see in that world. And I think for people, like, you know, especially by the time that they are committing to like a coach, there's already a part of them. And especially for the anxious people that have that little masochistic part where they like to get slapped around a little bit and like to be challenged and like to be, that like to be, held, like, you know, accountable and already think that something's wrong. But when you speak that capital T truth, like, you know, of, hey, these are your issues, these are the patterns that you have, like, you know, in your life, they know it deep down. Like, again, all this does is this bring light and brings that mirror to the conscious awareness, from the subconscious. And so I would say that sometimes one of the things that are most difficult, like with clients in the beginning, is them wrapping their mind on how deep that this stuff goes. Meaning that how we do one thing is how we do everything. How we approach relationships is how we were presented in childhood, like, you know, and we, and all these concepts about, like, you know, how your thoughts shape your reality. Like, it can be like a lot at first, like a big whoosh into them, where it's like, where they're trying to recalibrate, like, you know, to this new level of awareness. And it also depends on how conscious the client is too, about, okay, the patterns in their life, meaning that a lot of the clients that I work with usually have gone through some sort of devastating breakup at some point. And that sometimes is the big catalyst for people in their life to learn and to grow, is because they've encountered something where, like, they were so depressed or anxious or dysregulated or in fight or flight that they were like, that is never going to happen again. So something must be wrong. So now it's time to do the inner work. I would say for people who, like, just on the day to day, who aren't aware about these patterns, I think that in life, you can call it universe, God, you can call it, like, you know, the subconscious programming. There's so many different perspectives you can look at it. But,
And owl.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That plant, what I like to call plant seeds, meaning that I was getting planted seeds my whole life before I decided to take the inner work, that I had anxiety or had certain abandonment stuff. Like, for example, like, you know, with my friends, when they were talking to me, whether it was like very lighthearted 3D, like, the dude that he, this is like, stop being, like, you know, so anxious, this is not his problem, like, you know, or whatever it is, or through different videos that I was watching, or like, there's just little moments in your life where you get those little seeds planted by friends, by family, by a video that you see online that's starting to speak that truth of, like, okay, this resonates with me because this is something that I'm experiencing. And then it blossoms later on. But I would say that, yeah, for somebody who I think is, quote, unconscious about what are their limiting beliefs and what, how their power over their life, victim mindset is one of the worst ways that we get trapped in that, like, you know, of, oh, like, when we say that our problems that we're having is because of a bigger collective experience that's outside of our control, such as, like, oh, like, again, like, all, like, I've seen it a lot on almost the red pill community, on the red pill community. All women are just want a rich man who is super buff, like, you know, and because I'm not any of those things, I will never find love. So I need to find the, I just need to put this persona on of this alpha male and find the right tricks and control tactics in order to get a woman, and whatever it is, like, you know, and and it's a almost manipulative and darker form of inner work, like, you know, which tries, like, and there's, it happens for women too, with the over dark femme world, as they call it, like the high value women world, where they take it to a dark space. And so I would say that, like, the big, one of the biggest holdbacks for people on this self-awareness journey, again, would be that victim mindset, where, like, they feel like they, that reality is happening to them and don't take accountability of their ways that they are perpetuating that, or this going to other spaces that are reaffirming that belief. And when that happens, like, that, and they get to make a decision within themselves. And there's lots of people out there that choose the opposite path, but they get to make the decision with themselves of, like, okay, am I able to take this accountability? Am I able to do the inner work? Am I able, is the life that I'm living more uncomfortable than doing the inner work that it would take to change my reality? And again, there's many people out there with, whether it's because of generational or societal or cultural pressures and expectations and mindsets and beliefs, that will decide like, no, it's actually a big, it's, I would rather just pretend that I'm the victim, or like there's real victimization, but I would rather be the victim and complain and have these different issues and believe this narrative, because the me looking at myself and me tackling all those generational things is way too intimidating.
They get into these tribes, right, which validates the pain. After time passes and they sort of feel the pain, they still tend to look out for characteristics in themselves to stick to the same tribe, right? For example, a person might go through a breakup, and as you said, you know, every man is evil or every woman is evil, and everybody is out there to either, you know, use you or abuse you, right? And after a certain point, right, I feel like everybody in their life sees the truth and says, okay, that might not be true. But do you think they still hold on to the same drive because they are unable to find, I would say, mentally fit people to move on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a complex question, but I believe overall, like, you know, again, if somebody is not actively working on themselves, that, yeah, and or they don't have those support systems or those seeds or those knowledge, yeah, like, you know, they can go back into those old patterns. And all anxiety, like, anxiety is just a projection of the future, and depression is just being stuck in the past. Mm-hmm. And when you don't have that vision, like, you know, for your life, or you're not bringing awareness around these things. And sometimes even when you are, but you're feel so overwhelmed by like the certainty almost that you are this bad person, or this is just how life works, like, you know, or whatever it is, then, like, you know, of course you're going to be drawn to more spaces where it reaffirms that belief. Like, that's another really difficult part of the inner work world and developing and growing as a person, is breaking old habits, because we form them in childhood, so they become our emotional home and our foundation. Yep. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and then to break that and to decide something differently, number one, it's just really unfamiliar. Yep. You know, it's like, it's trying to be like, it's almost like going to a different planet where you're the only one of your species and everybody else is completely different, right? So it's completely unfamiliar. The nervous system when it gets there, it's like, I don't know if I can actually survive being this person, like, you know, so let me just self-sabotage and go back to my old patterns and my own beliefs. And that's where a lot of people can get stuck, is that if they don't have that little spark of that fire or that drive or that courage, like, you know, to be like, okay, I'm just going to burn this away and burn all of that and get really freaking uncomfortable so that I can have this other reality or this other version of me. So in short, yes, that can be something that's really difficult for people.
So what I was saying is, right, like after a certain point, right, people kind of give up on this, give up on the concept of I need to work on myself and this is what I am, right?
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I don't mess with people who say this is what I am, because mm-hmm. that operates from a perspective of there is no room for improvement.
Mm.
Right? So when you interact with people, or when you just talk to your clients, right? And when they say, no, I don't want to change, right? This is who I am, and let people deal with it, because I have dealt with people's bullshit, you know, lifelong. What you like? First reaction back.
So my first reaction is to challenge it, like every single time, like, you know, where it's like, because a lot of the time what that is like this like safety blanket, this like story that they're hiding underneath to be like, nope, I don't need to do all these big things, like, and so this, because it seems so intimidating to be another version of you, or it seems so like much sometimes, that our response to it is to shut down and to numb and be like, nope, this is just who I am. So a lot of the time what I do with my clients is I actually like walk them through, a lot of times what they even just said on that meeting, where it's like, okay, what if this is true? Let's just say that you are like that, who you are is that you hold all these judgments or shame, let's say around sex or intimacy or like, you know, whatever it is. Okay, is that actually true? And then I'll go deeper with them about like, okay, where did you learn this from? Like, you know, why is this here? Like, you know, what, where, okay, let's say that your sister did this or your mom did this. How would you feel about that? Like, you know, would that shift your belief? A lot of what I do is some of that story work. Okay, where was that story formed and why? Well, also leaving room for whatever is their authentic selves, like, you know, at this current time and at their current state of consciousness, where it's like, okay, instead of trying to, because shame never works. Like, you know, shame just leads to more shame and more self-deprecation. You might get changed, but you're not going to have fulfillment from it. Mm-hmm. So like if sometimes people feel so ashamed of what it is that they think that they believe about themselves that instead, like they decide to just double down on it. Because if they own it, mm-hmm. if they own this part of themselves, then okay, beautiful. Now I don't have to, then there's nothing wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And this is just who I am. Okay, so also acceptance, like, you know, okay, this also, another way that you can shift this is, okay, this, if this is true, okay, what are the strengths of this? Like, you know, what are the things that this serves you in and what are the ways that it doesn't serve you? Where are you not getting the results that you want in your life, right? And because when you accept the strengths of whatever it is that you have shame about, and then you apply those strengths into the real world, sometimes those beliefs start to shift because people around you start reacting in a new way. Like, let's use the all women are bad or example. Well,
yeah.
Okay. So let's say that they go into the dating world and they assume all women are bad. Okay. Let's say that they use the vehicle of that, which is I can discern, like, you know, a woman in front of me and I can have courage, like I can be open-minded, like, you know, to witnessing who she is or whatever it is. And let's just say she's just bad or whatever it is. Okay. And once you accept that, then you allow openness to be able to see, okay, like, maybe she shows up, like this woman shows up differently on, or shows up to a date. And then he starts to witness like, okay, but okay, this is what my resting belief is. And I'm starting to discern. Now I'm open-minded to the opportunity of something different. And because that person's not going in with the energy anymore of, okay, this person is bad and that, and like, and the shame and guilt around that. Okay. Then they start, it allows the person in front of them the opportunity to show up also authentically, because we can always feel each other's energies. Right. Like, you know, you can tell when somebody is like, is sitting there and it's all about them, or they're like judging you or they're shaming you or whatever it is.
Yep.
So when you go into self-acceptance, you, it already opens up a little bit of that modality of, feeling, be able to be adaptable. I'm not sure if I explained that the best way. But that's
so the, I guess what you're trying to say is when people approach an open-ended situation with a closed mind, it won't work.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what you're kind of getting at. To put it simply, I mean, very simply.
Yeah.
Right. Because I read somewhere that if a person believes in something, right, and if they truly believe in it, no amount of facts can change their mind until they're willing to change.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that's what you're trying to say, that, that the person has to approach the situation with open-mindedness and not be willing to change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just saying, okay, all women are bad and, you know, I never want to talk to a woman,
mm-hmm.
right? And then the person finds all the signals that favor their belief,
mm-hmm.
right? I guess that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, when a lot of the time people double down on those bad beliefs when they feel like they're going to be shamed for it or not be seen or witnessed for what brings that experience in. Like, sometimes, like, that comes, like, typically people who have that belief also come from family members, like, you know, who had really bad experiences with men or with women. And then they spewed that onto their kid and their kid adopted it and they start to. And then they surround themselves with friends who also have the same belief.
Yeah.
Right. So like when you're able to be like, okay, you've had some bad experiences and you're, whoever's had some bad experiences, this is a reality for some people. Can you be open-minded about a different reality? And is that the one that you want to test out and actually want to be in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess what you're trying to say is to somebody, hey, listen, you might have gotten your ass kicked in the past. Are you willing to move on? Or cry about it for the rest of your life and never see growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. I asked a question similar to that a lot. Like, it's like basically like, do you, okay, is are you liking the results that you get from that?
Yeah.
Right? No? Yeah. Okay. So maybe we should change that.
Just maybe, yeah. You know, just maybe. Just maybe it's time to move on from that and, you know, try to be a better human.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah. That is something that a lot of people hate. If you suggest it to them, right? What do you mean? Because this, you know, social media has this effect on people where they, because the algorithm is so curated, right? And I'm a marketer, so I realize, like, a person who doesn't have a clue of how algorithm works can truly build an echo chamber that they can never walk out of, especially on social media, right? So do you think in the modern world of dating and relationships and situationships and 100 different vocabularies, right, of the same thing again and again, regardless of gender, regardless of state of mind, right, do you think there is a universal law kind of thing which is like basic and relatable to most people?
I would say there's universal truth, which is going to sound very basic and cliche, which is that everybody seeks love and connection.
Yeah.
Everybody does, right? You can wrap it up in any little bow. You can play the girl boss. You can play the alpha male or whatever it is. But all of that stems from is I want to be loved. I want to be seen. And I desire connection. And I'm trying everything that I can in order to hit that truth. Like every single person on this planet has two fears, being alone and not being enough, which always ties back into our tribal times of if we weren't enough and if we were alone, we would die. And that sucks. Nobody wants to die.
Yeah.
Okay. We haven't evolved out of that. Like, you know, and even though
but
we have.
Emily, do you think it's also because we know what we're capable of and we're not achieving it on a daily basis?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, you know, I think that deep down, you can cover it up with whatever you want, but deep down, you know your potential. Like, you have dreams, you have vision, you know what it is that you're capable of. You, and in fact, another beautiful benefit and also sometimes hurtful part of social media is that you have evidence all the time about how other people with the exact same story of you are doing just as good or better.
Right? Or even worse stories, right? Or even worse stories or in worse situations.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly, right? And like, so it's people, like, it's hard to, you can't run away from, again, the truth, which is that you have potential, you have the capability, you just have XYZ things that are holding you back, and it's your choice about whether you let them hold you back or not.
Yeah, I don't know the name of the psychologist, but she said, you know what you want, and you know what it takes to get there. You're just a bitch and not working on it.
Yeah.
Like, that's a colorful language of saying, you know, you know what it's going to take. It's just that you're not in a state of mind to work on. And, you know, you need to accept it. Okay, this is what I need to work on. It be a relationship or on yourself or a person, right? I guess the standard is still the same, right? So,
yeah.
No, no. Go ahead. It's your time. You know. Sorry.
Yeah, like, you know, again, I believe every single human being on this planet has unlimited potential, and the only person that holds them back is them. Like, another perspective that I got back when I was in sales was, okay, let's say that you die and you go to heaven and you have let's say 5, 10, 15 accomplishments, and then God looks over and he presents to you this list of this is who you could have been. Oh, I don't know why that happened. This is who.
Nice. Can you retry it, maybe?
I don't even know how I did that. But yeah, back to the story. He has, and he shows you this list of this is who you could have been if you reached your full potential. And it really, like, shook something in me where it was like, again, like, you know, I think that we co-create, like, you know, both with what our destiny is and what, like, what God or universe or whoever it is that you believe in, what their plan is for you, and also what you choose to go after yourself. You know, it takes two. God helps those who help themselves, right? Yeah. And so, but yeah, like, you know, I think again that everybody has that potential. Everybody is capable of hitting, of becoming whoever it is that they want to be. But like you said earlier, like, you know, if they're not willing to see that, and if they are, if they choose their fear, then that's the life that they're going
to
get.
What do you think? Right. I mean, I'm trying to just like make sense of whatever we just spoke. Right. So what do you think about people holding on to stories that reinforce their wrong? Like, you know, when I was like 15, I went through this, and they repeat that story 365 times a year.
Yeah. So I'll actually, one of my greatest mentors, Mike Lanzetta, like, you know, he taught me this brilliant concept of victimization versus victimhood. Victimization is a real thing, meaning that you can be victimized in a situation. Let's say you have a terrorist attack, you have a war zone, you were beaten, you were abused in some sort of way, you, your parents, like, you know, weren't there for your emotional needs. That is true victimization that does deserve space to be felt, be processed, be healed, and be rearranged. Okay. Even when it goes into racism, when it goes into sexism, whatever it is, that's a real experience for some people that they get to work through and they get to be feel re-empowered by. However, victimhood is voluntary.
Yep.
Okay. Once that situation, that event is over, you are safe from it and you are now in a different environment or whatever it is now your responsibility to take responsibility over what that happened and how that affected you, and to start to change it and to become healed from it, to evolve from it, to grow from it, right? Because that the past is the past. Like, you know, whatever happened, like, you know, yes, it can have devastating effects and it impacted the way that you entered relationships. But if you continue to choose that story of, hey, I am the broken, abused, I was just this, and keep being in that victimhood, hey, you're becoming a voluntary participant in it, and it's continual impact on your life. Like, and that was like, and that's why identity work is so powerful in a lot of the coaching that I do, is because, okay, we take the identity of the abandoned one, the abused one, the insecure one, whatever it is, and we start to take it back into re-empowerment of, okay, what are, like, who is the person that you actually want to be in the world? Do you want to be for the rest of your life the person that was abused, the person that was homeless, the person that was whatever, like, you know, and make that your whole story and make that your whole destiny? Like, nobody wants that. Right. But sometimes people get caught up in the, like, accountability aspect of it, like, for specifically later on, like in relationships, I would say is the most, one of the most uncomfortable things that my clients, like, you know, experience is that of, okay, what were the, yes, this person did this to me, but I also accepted it. I also, like, you know, I didn't walk away. I didn't do these X, Y, Z different things. And then they have to learn how to forgive themselves for that.
Yeah. I read this, that in a book which said, fear is a signal of imminent danger, not danger immediately, right?
Mm-hmm.
But people are so scared because they see both the good examples and the bad examples of relationships on social media,
mm-hmm.
right? And unfortunately, only when a bad thing happens, people tend to talk about it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, a person might get married, but other people won't talk about it for probably more than a month or two. But if a person got divorced, they would talk about it until that person was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, do you think this kind of negative look or negative view into life also kind of hurts people who got hit early or went through, you know, bad shit when they were younger, you know, when they were not evolved?
Yeah, I would say that first and foremost, it it's not right. I don't believe in staying in the pain frequency. I don't believe in staying in victimhood. But it makes sense because society, culture, movies, everything praises it. Like,
yeah.
On the news, you might get like, hey, this puppy was saved for like 5% of the news. And then 95% of it is there's this war and there's this problem and there's this thing that's going on and everybody hates this. And look at this new controversial figure. Like, and they just like, show it and show it and show it and show it and show it because it plays into directly people's fear and their survival instincts. And we start to bond over even problems. It even happens in the day to day, like, you know, of if like in certain spaces, like in, let's say, like, you know, in a I'm trying to think of like a corporate setting where it's like, oh, like, you know, how are you doing? Oh, my, I'm tired. I need some coffee. My day sucks. Oh my gosh, my day sucks too. All this sucks. My husband's doing this. My kids are doing this. And then the suck mindset. Okay. And
also it's like humans have this, sorry to disturb you, humans have this tendency of competing of how much shit can one person shovel.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Like, oh, did you go through divorce? You know what I went through? I went through cancer. Right? Like, this is what people do. Right? Like,
yes.
Oh, you were in abuse for 2 years. I went through abuse for 2 decades, you know? Like,
they
get into these weird zones. I don't know why. And we compete on very pessimistic point of views, right?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the toxic sides of the quote mental health community. It's like when, especially when these were like even teenagers and young 20-year-olds that were like saying, "I have OCD, I have PTSD, I have anxiety, I have all these different things, blah blah, all these labels," and then in the comments they would be like. I mean, somebody will just be talking about like even an authentic experience and everybody in the comments will be like, oh, that's fake. Like, you know, oh, like, you know, at least you have this. Like, you know, oh, even like there's stereotypes about the pretty white girl. She should have no problems. And she talks about something that she's going through or that she's been like bullied or something like that. And then everybody in the comments is like, oh, like, you know, oh, here's a pretty white girl, like, you know, complaining about her white problems.
Yeah, and I think there'll be one person who will say, you know, there is no water in Africa. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, like with Kim K. Like, okay, that was a crazy situation. Okay. But with Kim K and the earrings, it's like, Tim, there are people who are dying.
Right. But you know, like Joe Rogan said it once that the worst thing that you will face in your life is the worst thing that you have faced, right? Like, you know, pain and trauma cannot be compared. And there is no way of quantifying it, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you are right when you say, you know, like people tend to stick to these stigmas and just they don't want to step into sunshine because it kind of burns them in the beginning. They're like, yeah, you know, I don't like how it affects my skin. But it's healthy for you. There's vitamin D, you know.
Right? Uh-huh. Yeah, so, and I oh go ahead.
Yeah, so it's like when you look at unevolved people, just emotionally, right? Because I think that's where you are at, honestly, where you see apes and chimps. Emotionally speaking, not literally. What's your first kind of trigger moment when you see somebody who's truly not evolved or not even like started?
So first and foremost, like I see it less about okay, is somebody like, you know, like evolved or not, because I think that sometimes goes into entitlement like mindsets, but like I see it as more of like I believe that we all get stuck at the age of our earliest unresolved trauma mindset or whatever it is. So like when I have somebody in front of me, like, you know, who is, let's say, in the victim mindset or is saying all these things about like, oh, like, you know, I'm just depressed. Doo-doo-doo. This is just my reality, or like, you know, whatever it is, like that's it becomes very clear the more that you learn, the more that you integrate, and the more that you process your own things, you can start to see clearly how other people are thinking, other people are feeling, and what's channel, like what's going on within them. It's almost like, again, I'm not calling
at a kid.
Yeah, it's like I mean this in the most graceful, loving way.
So it is like an evolved person looking at an unevolved person.
I don't like the word evolved. Like
no, I'm just playing. I understand.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, but in some ways, yes, it can feel like that though, of like of not like an evolved, but like of like looking at a kid. Like
yeah.
It's almost the same type of perspective, like, you know, of when you have a 6-year-old come up to you and throw a tantrum about and I say this lovingly, but throw a tantrum about, like, you know, their toys being taken away, like, you know, whatever it is, you can very clearly see this is a kid and that this isn't that deep. Okay. Yeah. But like, same thing happens, like, you know, because we all have different emotional and spiritual ages that we all go back and forth on.
Right. Yeah. So your trigger reaction is to say, dude, you got no idea? Or is it like, can you just chill for a second? What's your kind of first trigger response when you are presented that kind of situation?
So what happens internally is I can just scan and read and filter situation and be like, that's ego, that's limiting belief, that's like, you know, a story that's not serving them. Okay, but in the moment, like when I'm talking to them, it depends on the setting. If I'm in a client setting, I get curious about it, like, you know, and I challenge them. I'm like, okay, let's say this is true, da 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 da, and then we work through it, right? And the day to day, I would say that there, I believe that when the more that you learn about this stuff, it's not your responsibility necessarily to try to coach everybody in real life, because that's something that A, needs to be their own active decision. They're not going to be able to hear you if they aren't ready to do the inner work and they aren't seeking that knowledge. So you can say all the right things, but if they're not ready to hear it, they're just going to go back to their own limiting beliefs and double down on that. However, I believe that you can be a role model though in life. Like, you know, you model the things that you would want, like, or that you are embodying, like, you know, so, this is just an easy example, but like all women are just like, you know, let's say all they want is like, you know, a rich man or whatever it is. Then like you meet somebody who has that belief and he's like, yeah, yelling at you or whatever. Is he, you women just want a rich man, blah, 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 blah. Your energy does not lie. If you respond to that with defensiveness, with like trying to overcompensate or whatever it is, like it's just going to reek out of your pores. And you can apply this to any situation in your life. But when you are embodied and like your knowing of who you are and what this capital T truth is, you get what I like to call the unfuckwithable energy, where somebody can walk up to you and be like, the sky is green, the sky is green, the sky is green, fuck you, the sky is green. And you're like, no, it's blue. And they're like, no, you stupid bitch, it's green. And you'd be like, okay, you do you, king. You do you, queen.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, and so, and again, that energy doesn't lie. And that energy doesn't, there's no falsehoods in it. And by being that example, I'm not saying that in that moment, like, you know, if you have a conversation with them, that they're magically going to transform overnight. But it does what I plant the seed. It plants the seed of that there is evidence of other people out there who do not embody that belief.
But it does take a lot of, I'd say, courage and recognition, even to say, you know, like, if somebody says sky is green, you say, you know what, for you it may be.
Yeah, like, and again, just make it like,
yeah, for you it might be.
Yeah,
right.
Like, yeah, that's your sky is green.
Right.
Yeah,
your sky is green. I call the same color blue.
Yeah, you might be colorblind. You know, and that's okay. That's your truth.
Yeah. Yep. And what's your kind of final, I would say, suggestion, right, for people who are going through stuff?
Work with me. No, I'm kidding.
Yes. That's an option.
But honestly, like, what I would say, like, if I'm speaking from my heart here, it's number one, like, you're not alone. We all think that we're the 1% of the 1% of people that are the only ones who have ever gone through these things. And no, my problems are different. It may have worked for her or him, but it wouldn't work for me. That's just fake. That's a fake story that you're using to keep into your comfort zone. Okay. And to not do the work. So that's what I would say first, is that, like, you're not alone, like, you know, whatever it is that you're experiencing, and that you have the power to change your mindset, to change your reality, to change your results. You just have to have the courage to be able to do that. And honestly, like, invest in yourself. Like, what's something I get frustrated with clients about is, like, they come up with all these excuses of, like, oh, I have this trip, I have this thing, I have this major life event that's coming up, I have these loans or whatever it is. Well, the reason that you keep having all these financial problems is you're not working on yourself. Like, you're not investing in yourself. And investing in yourself is the best thing that you will ever do for yourself. It will. I have been in some of the most broke stages of my life, the most, I have never, not once, no matter how much like debt that I temporarily accumulated or how many ways that I overpromised or overcompromised or whatever it is, I have never once regretted investing into myself, and it has never not paid off. So I would say invest in yourself, find a program, find a coach. I'm awesome, but invest in yourself.
You're too humble. You're too humble. Yes. Yes. Also, it helps if the person is just dumb, because ignorance is indeed bliss. And they're like, you know, this situation sucks and I need to get out of it. And once they decide it, I guess they'll do it. Right? They just need that kick in the ass motivation. That life provides, right? And it's also, I think it's also important for people to recognize that they're just people, right? I made a small reel about this recently, which is going to be out by this episode, I guess. Where I know I said, like, we talk to ourselves very cruelly, like in a very bad state, and yet we allow a lot of compassion when others do the same mistake, right? So I was like, how about you talk to yourself a little bit better, right? So yeah, that's kind of my point of view. Anyways, Emily, thank you for being here. It's already nearing an hour, and I don't think I realized that, or even you, I don't know. Hopefully not the audience too.
No, it just blew by. This is awesome. I could keep going for like hours. So I love it. Thank you so much for inviting me. Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here. And if people want to find you, not the Jason Bourne way, but just find you online, where can they do that?
Yeah, so all of my socials have the same tag. It's emily.bradbury.coaching. So my Instagram is a great way to find me, just because I'm pretty active on there. My community is pretty alive. We have lives. We have all sorts of, like, you know, workshop Wednesdays and all sorts of things to get in touch. So that's a great way. I would say probably social media is the best. So Instagram, TikTok, those are my two main platforms. And
got it. And guys, all of the links of Emily's social media will be in the description, so just go there, check her out. And yeah, she speaks pretty in regular language compared to other coaches, so you might be able to understand it. Right. And this is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you did take away a lot of value from this episode. And hopefully you don't have to put it into use soon, right? Hopefully all of your lives are just happy, right?
That'd be ideal.
Right? And ideally, you never have to go through drama or pain. But if you go through, just talk to Emily, right? That makes sense.
I love it.
Right? That was a fine outro, I feel like.
That's perfect. Approved.
Yes, just the chef's kiss. And until next episode, just keep breathing. Like, very, very crucial for human beings. Right? Just keep breathing and just keep living your what's your finest self. If you run into trouble, you know, we have customer support Emily here who can help you with, you know, a lot of stuff. And until next episode, thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yay! That was awesome.